Today, as we said, is the fifth Sunday of Lent. And today we're not looking at one I am statement of Jesus. We're looking at two I am statements of Jesus. Why are we doing that? Because these two statements were part of the same dialogue in the Bible. They kind of go together, and they come to us from John chapter 10. And the first of the two statements was this: I am the gate of the sheep. That's the NIV translation. Other translation says, I am the door of the sheep. It's really the same thing, gate and door. It doesn't matter which one you use. The second one he said was, I am the good shepherd, with a capital G. I am the good shepherd. As you know, there are some bad shepherds out there that will lead us, all sheep, astray wherever the devil wants them to go. It all started in Genesis and it hasn't stopped, you know. Now, both of his statements, I am the gate and I am the good shepherd, should bring us tremendous comfort, because it just shows how much Jesus loves you. Let's linger on that thought for a moment. Jesus loves you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for love that is beyond our comprehension. Thank you. I'm sure you already know this, but the word sheep used in all of these teachings of Jesus is a metaphor for us, you and I. Why did he compare us to sheep? Well, there are some good things about sheep, and there's some not so good things about sheep. And I decided to research it. I went to the internet, and I asked the internet to give me a list of good things about sheep and not so good things about sheep. And you know what it where it led me? It led me to a site where a sheep farmer listed things. I thought, okay, he knows more than I do. I thought this was interesting. I'm going to start with some of the positive ones. Oh, and as I do this, apply this to yourself, okay? Sheep likes to stick together. I like that. They can be very sociable. And most of us can be sociable, can't we? Most of the time. Here's another one. Sheep love routine. Can you identify with that? Anybody in here have any routines? Of course you do. It makes life easier and more comfortable, doesn't it? Isn't it awful when your routine gets interrupted? Huh? Here's another one. I love this one. Sheep know when it's time to eat and when it's time to sleep. I'm there, at least on the first part. I am definitely there. Here's another one. Sheep can be very curious and interested in lots of things. Now, I love that. I love that we could be very curious and interested in lots of things. You know, I've discovered, I don't know about you, but I've discovered that as I've gotten older, I'm not as curious about new things as I used to be. Have you discovered that? I hope not. I want to embrace new things. I want to learn more new things. I want to always be an open vessel for God to pour into me. Here's another one. Sheep love having a strong leader, and they will follow that leader wherever that leader takes them, right or wrong. And I'm not talking about politics. Or maybe I am, I don't know. Sheep can also be very happy and playful animals. I love that part. I love to be around people like that. They lift my spirits, people that are happy and joyful. not a stick in the mud. Okay, all of those are some of the positive traits that I read there, and they all can be applied to any of us at any time. Now, here are some of the not-so-positive ones. Sheep are considered basically to be stupid. I'm sure that there's nobody in here that is stupid, but some sheep can be very stupid. I know what you're thinking. Okay, here's another one. Sheep do not like change. I thought it was only old people that didn't like change, but when I read that, I thought, oh, okay. Sheep do not like change, and they take a long time getting used to anything new. Can any of you identify with that? Okay, sheep can be oblivious when their companions are in any kind of pain. Does that apply to us? Look around this room. Is there anyone in here in pain and you had no idea that they're in pain? You're oblivious? You know, to be very fair, there are some people who hide their pain, or at least they try to. And I'm going to say something that, I'm going to say it. That can be very selfish, especially in the body of Christ. To hide your pain. How can we go through it with you? How can we love you? How can we pray for you if we don't know you're hurting? But it can also be very selfish to just ignore people's pain, to be oblivious to it, to not even want to know, just live in your own little world. Selfish. Selfish to hide your pain, selfish to ignore other people's pain. Let's be a body that's tuned into one another and shares life together, okay? Okay, here's another one that's not so positive. When a sheep is cornered, they will do whatever they need to do to get themselves free of the situation, even if it means trampling on their companions. I don't think I've ever experienced that in the body of Christ, but I have experienced that in the secular world. Have you? In job situations, in corporate situations, in school, I've seen it happen. Trample over anybody that gets in your way. Sadly, there's more negatives. No, there's more. Sheep can be oblivious to the consequences of their own actions. Interestingly, if one sheep sees a better opportunity over the fence, they will hop over that fence to get there. Greedy. And one or two other sheep will see them hop over that fence, and so they will hop over too. And then a couple of dozen sheep will decide to hop off, and then the whole flock will jump over that fence. Greedy, greedy. In other words, sheep are followers even of bad behavior. And here's one last one. If a sheep falls down on its back, it cannot get up by itself. It needs a shepherd. Maybe that's not so negative. Sometimes when we fall, we are absolutely helpless too, and we need others to pick us up. Now, in case you haven't noticed, the list of negatives is longer than the list of positives. All we, like sheep, need help. We need help. So we look for help. We look for help in lots and lots of places. And Jesus said, hey, guys, look to me. Look to me. That's probably the sermon right there. I could probably end right there. No, I'm not going to end right there. I'm sorry. Now, in this passage in John 10, where Jesus describes himself as a shepherd, he begins by describing himself as the door or the gate to the sheep pen. And what is that all about? Well, a good shepherd would lie down in the doorway or the gate to the sheep pen at night and sleep there in order to protect the sheep from harm as well as to keep them from going astray, because the dumb sheep would go astray very, very easily. That analogy. Do you realize that Jesus is there with you all the time? He's there even when you're sleeping, and he's protecting you, and he's trying to help you to stay on the right path? Thank you, Jesus. But only if you follow him, and only if you ask him, and only if you allow him. Are you listening? Only if you allow him. You know, when Jesus said that he was the door and the gate to the sheep, he was talking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were super Jews. And it says in verse 6 that they didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was saying. What's this all about? So Jesus had to elaborate a little bit. And in the passage, he talks about being the gate. And then he says, and I'm the way for you to be saved. I am the way for you to have a full, abundant life. As people of faith in Jesus Christ, we know that. Amen? We know that. But does that mean we live like we know that? Sermon could stop right there. Perhaps it would be good to stop right there and talk about things that Jesus did not say in this passage. He did not say that the door of salvation is to be born into a Christian home. He did not say that you are a Christian through your family, whether it's your past family or your present family. He did not say that the gate of salvation is through church membership, or even attending church, or baptism, or communion, or giving, or traditions, good deeds. He did not say that. What did he say? He said, he is the only way. He is the only way. Are you listening? He is the only way. That's what he said. Oh, as people of faith, we know that too, don't we? So, Harry, why in the world are you repeating it? I've heard this 1,000 times. I've sung it in many songs and hymns. Why are you? Because in the church of Jesus Christ, there are dumb sheep that do not listen. They go to church all the time, but they don't hear a thing. It doesn't reach the level of their heart. Dumb and happy sheep. That's not you, is it? God made that truth very clear a number of times in the Bible. This is 1 John 5. Whoever has the Son, spelled S-O-N, whoever has the Son has life. Here's the next part. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. If you do not have the Son of God, you're dead. Are you listening? This is John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Getting better, isn't it? Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. That's what he said. Are you listening? I should title this sermon, Are You Listening? Jesus summed it all up this way in John 14:6. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one. Who? No one, he said. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through me. That's what he said. That settles it. All you have to do is to step out of this room and step out into the parking lot and go to your car and go wherever you want to go, and you will see many, many people out there that think that Jesus Christ was arrogant to say that. And furthermore, they think that we Christians are arrogant to preach it and to think it and to share it with other people. They think we're arrogant. They're like the Pharisees. They just don't understand. They don't understand God's truth. So Jesus added another statement. One of the most exalted and controversial statements that he said in the I Am statements. This is verse 11 in John 10. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But even that wasn't enough. Three verses later, in verse 14, he said it a second time. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. He knows you. And my sheep know me. Hopefully you know him. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Let me ask you a question. Is there any member of your family whom you love very deeply, who, if they were in mortal danger, you would die for? I suspect many, if not most of you, would say yes. But obviously, that's a hypothetical question. Would you really die for them? Now, let me ask you this. If push came to shove, would you die for me? Or look around this room. Seriously, look around this room. Look at each other. Hello, look. Turn around. Look at each other. If there were anyone in this room that was in mortal danger, would you die for them? I'm going to make a very difficult assumption here that most of us, perhaps all of us, would do what sheep do. We would run. We would try to save ourselves first, and we might even trample over somebody to save ourselves. We call ourselves a family. We call ourselves a family of God. Now, let me ask you this. Suppose the worship service is over, and you go out into that parking lot, and you go to your car, and you see other people out there who do not know Jesus Christ, and they're in mortal danger. You've never met them. You don't know who they are. You probably don't even make eye contact when you pass them. Would you die for them? I'm not even going to attempt to answer that question. But that is precisely what our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, said he was willing to do for you and for me and for your family members and for all those other people who are out there in the parking lots of life. He's willing to die for everyone. In fact, one of the staggering, controversial things that Jesus said to the Pharisees was in verse 16. He said, I have other sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also that they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. What was he talking about? He was speaking to those super Jews about us Gentiles, us non-Jews. And if he hadn't said that, you and I wouldn't even be here today. Thank God we are. Those Pharisees would not have allowed us to come sit at the table. But Jesus did. Jesus did. He said he wants to be the shepherd of all who will come to him. That's what this season of Lent is all about. That's what this is all about. Jesus did not risk his life. He gave his life. Judas' betrayal of Jesus did not kill Jesus. Pontius Pilate's condemnation of Jesus did not kill Jesus. The angry mob did not kill Jesus. Jesus willingly gave his life for us. Hallelujah! What a Savior! He is the Good Shepherd with a capital G. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, but to lay down his life for one's friends. Stop right there and say, thank you, Jesus. I'm serious. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus. You and I are so familiar with all the things that I'm saying right now. that it could all be just a cliche for us. We've heard it countless times. We have sung it countless times. It's old news. The question is, are you willing to stay there in that situation, or has it changed your life? Has it changed your life, or what? Now, as you know, Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven to become a baby in a barn. And he left the glory of heaven to become like one of us, like sheep, who struggle with the challenges of life. And all of that is remarkable. But you know what makes it even more remarkable? He did it for sheep. Bah! Stupid sheep like us, he did it for us. People who don't like change. People who are oblivious to the hurts and the pains of other people. People who might push other people aside to get ahead. People who will follow anyone or anything if it looks appealing enough, and even if it is forbidden fruit. People who will follow others and experience whatever looks so appealing. How patient is God? How patient is our God? Here's something else that's remarkable. Jesus said, there shall be one flock and one shepherd. He said that to the Jews about non-Jews. And here's something else. Jesus wants us to love other flocks as much as we love our own. There are many, many churches around us filled with sheep like us. They may not sing the same songs we sing. They might not like the sound of an organ. They might not like to say the Apostles' Creed. They might not like some of our traditions, but Jesus died for them too. And he wants all of us to be one. As he expressed it, one flock, one shepherd. It's hard enough to love Jesus Christ the way we know we should love Jesus Christ. How much harder is it to love other Christians when they don't look and act like us? Boy, the room got quiet as I talked about that. Okay, as we come to the end of this passage, here's something else that the Pharisees did not understand. In fact, no one else did either, except Jesus. He said, the reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. You see, Jesus already knew about the horrors of the week to come, the week we call Holy Week, the week of his arrest, the week of his torture, the week of his murder. But he also knew about the most wonderful week in history, the week when he walked out of that tomb alive and victorious. What he did not say, explicitly anyway, what he did not say, but he did describe metaphorically, is that there is going to be an even more glorious day than that for you and for me. And that's the day that he takes you home to be with him. I am not talking about the second coming of Christ, which may happen before we die. We don't know. I'm talking about that day when you go from this life to that life. He promised you that he would be the door. He promised you that he would be at that door. And he probably says something like this, you deserve to die for your transgressions, but I took them on for myself. On your behalf, because I am the good shepherd. And then he probably would say, they stretched out my hands and my arms painfully on that cross, but now I stretch them out willingly to hug you as you come into my kingdom. So welcome home. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord God, you are wonderful. You are too wonderful. love that will not let us go. Thank you. And you are our shepherd, our loving, good, perfect shepherd. Thank you. We submit to you with love. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.